Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined, as always, in studio by my good friends and my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, we are rapidly approaching Indy Live. Indy Live is very exciting. Indy Live is going to be a rich person thing. So we're going to talk about things that rich people do. And if you do this,
then you will be rich. We'll get to that. But that's the word on the streets.
Yeah, you'll probably be rich. Like, your kids will get into a great college, and you're going to have an amazing time. That's the one thing we can guarantee about Indy Live. So you're going to get rich person spa treatment, because Indy Live takes place March 31st at Soma Church and Day Spa on the northeast side of Indianapolis. It's going to be lavish. It's going to be decadent.
Is that the rich side of Indy?
That's definitely the rich side. Okay. Yeah.
Because you know there's like usually a right side of the tracks and a wrong side of the tracks. I want to make sure that we're on the rich side of the tracks.
Well, yeah, I texted Dave this morning, man, Daver, on his gold phone, and he let me know that that's for sure the rich side of Indianapolis. And I said, Dave, of course it is. What are we, savages? So, Piper, tell them a little bit more about how they can get tickets to Indy Live. Let's talk about group pricing. I want some huge groups of people at Indy Live, and I want that room full. So, Piper, tell them how we can make that happen.
Yeah, so we have, if you go to happyrantpodcast.com, all the details are there. You've got the time and the location, which Ted already gave you. But it's 7 to 10 p.m. on the evening of the 31st. That's a Sunday night on the eve of the Gospel Coalition Conference. So if you're considering going, This is just the right way to kick that event off. It's, you may as well start on the high note and then go from there. If you're within driving distance of Indianapolis, so that's all of you in the middle of America, especially in the Chicago area, the Nashville area, the Louisville area, all of you are within driving distance. It's a short hop. Just come on down on that Sunday night. You can also so if you go to happyrantpodcast.com, you'll see a big orange button that says get your tickets here. That's where we've got it. We will set up a discount. Let's see how. I think I can only do single ticket discounts, so it'll apply to all the tickets on an order. So that means if you're ordering for just yourself, you'll get the same discount as a bulk ticket. But let's use the code last minute. So this is since we are down to the wire here, folks. If you put in the code last minute at checkout, you will get $5 off per ticket. So that is the discount we are offering, which is a 33% discount because they're only 15 to start with. So if you just want to throw us a couple extra bucks, don't use the code last minute and just order the tickets at full price.
You know what? It's rich person stuff. You're doing wise things with your money. Dave Ramsey would be pleased with you.
Unfortunately, we don't take cash payments, so Dave Ramsey would be less pleased with you.
Now, what if they showed up with their little Dave Ramsey envelope at the door? And they were like, I've got an envelope labeled Happy Rant Events, and I want to get in. Would we let them in?
Yes, we will take cash payments at the door. We'd prefer if you ordered your tickets in advance, because that's also a wiser way to budget your money, to spend it now as opposed to planning to spend it later. So that Dave Ramsey approves that as well.
A lot of issues there, Pipe. A lot of moving parts vis-a-vis Dave Ramsey.
It's really hard to know how to make Dave happy, except if you're just doing rich people things.
It really is. Those Midwestern drives are gorgeous, too. I mean, that drive from Chicago down to Indianapolis, mm-hmm. down 65, are you kidding me?
Man, especially this time of year before anything starts growing, it's just endless fields of like lumpy dirt.
Stunning. Baby, you're going to get a little Hammond, a little Rensselaer.
A little West gorgeous. Lafayette and Lafayette. Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I know we're getting ahead of ourselves. I'm just getting excited to drive back up into God's country and pamper myself at Soma Church and Day Spa for Indy Live. But Piper, we have other rich person things to talk about. I feel like another rich guy thing is to have a sponsor for your podcast.
It's certainly a make us richer thing. That's the way that's supposed to work anyway.
That's right. That's something we've had, and we have a new one, Pipe. So why don't you tell us about our new sponsor?
We do. So our new sponsor for the next few episodes is Dwell Bible App. So it's an app for your phone. It's actually an audio Bible app, which I've never really gotten into audio Bibles, but I was talking to some guys at church the other day, and we were talking about just struggles in being in the Word consistently, which is something I think all of us probably have in common if we're human. And a couple of them said that they find audio Bibles really helpful, especially because they have to drive a fair amount for work. And so Dwell is one way to do this, except it's not just a Bible that you jump into and sort of listen to kind of however you want. You can do that, but they have a whole bunch of cool features. So they have four different recordings of the Bible in the ESV, so that with different voices in case you prefer one reader over another, one style over another. They have 44 different listening plans. So that's it's like a Bible reading plan, except it's just audio segments per day. Some of them are thematic. Some of them walk you through books of the Bible. Some of them are go through the Bible in a year. So you can kind of find the one that suits your pace, your style, your commute length. They broke it down, and if you listen for about 15 to 20 minutes a day, you can make it through the whole Bible in a year, which is – that's really not that hard considering – I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, that's, you know, 40 minutes. So you just do a third of this on all the other days, and you've made it through the Bible in a year.
There you go.
So where to go to get this? If you go to dwellapp.io, dwellapp.io/happyrant, you can get a 33% discount off of their annual subscription. So that puts it at $19.99 a year. So that's $1.67 a month. That's cheaper than crappy coffee. So $19.99 a year if you go to that link, dwellapp.io/happyrant. So this is not a free app, which makes sense because they've clearly put in a ton of work. They've produced some really high-quality stuff for you. So go to dwellapp.io/happyrant to subscribe. They have a 7-day free trial you can test out as well. So if you're not totally sold, you can do the 7-day free trial, then sign up for the $19.99 a year. You can afford it. Because you're doing rich people things. So
wow, Pipe, that was impressive.
Go ahead and do that.
That was impressive. Piper, I dig it. I'm actually looking at the website. It looks really cool.
Oh, and for you guys, I forgot to email you. They set you up with free accounts, so I'll just need to shoot you that information. So,
dude, that's dope. Yeah, I totally
that's truly rich
out.
Guy stuff right there.
Absolutely.
The true
absolutely.
Rich guy stuff is we didn't have to spend money on it. Kind of like
special
certain,
treatment.
Kind of like, kind of like certain students who got into colleges just without having to do anything.
Piper, how would the three of us gentlemen go about getting voice work on this app? I feel like I want to read a book of the Bible into this thing, and I want people to That's be able to choose their favorite happy rant voice for this.
Well, first of all, have you ever, other than podcasting and your extensive radio experience, what voice experience do you have?
Dude, I actually read one of my own audiobooks, believe it or not. So
I've done a couple of mine too. So I think that qualifies as a resume.
I think so too. I've got one audiobook under my belt. You have two. Big R was a recording artist for many years. So
yeah,
I think,
the reason I didn't ask him is because he made a living with his voice for a lengthy period of time, and so I just that counts. That's a resume
thanks,
as right. well. That's
so
that's
I think
rich
we need
people
to,
things.
As a company, we need to reach out to these people and let them know that we're available for voice work.
That's a good call. We should do that.
Yeah, so let's make deals, man. Let's make some more deals because rich guys make deals. And I want to talk about rich guy stuff because our favorite rich guy, Dave Ramsey, tweeted the following. I'm going to read you guys this tweet, and then I'm going to tell you, like, I got to be full disclosure with you guys because I got some Dave Ramsey issues. So here's the tweet. If you do rich people stuff, eventually you will be rich. If you do poor people stuff, you will eventually be poor.
Dave I'm so Ramsey. Glad you couldn't read that with a straight voice.
Dude, I can't. It's ridiculous. It's like reading a Rachel the Held Evans tweet with a straight face. Like it kind of can't be done. And can I come clean with you guys about a thing that I'm struggling with? The thing is, I really don't like Dave Ramsey at all. I don't like his smug face in this picture. I don't like the people that like Dave Ramsey. I feel like
Big T, you're cutting out 3/4 of the American population right now.
Maybe it's kind of like the people that are real, like ride or die with Pipe's dad. Like yeah, Pipe's dad is a lovely guy in real life, but like the people that really like ride or die with Pipe's dad tend to be less lovely people.
Oh, we'll get to them in a minute. They're another show topic. So just hang in there,
that's
folks.
True. Dude, so I struggle with Ramsey, man. I struggle with this whole thing. And this tweet to me just seems unspeakably smug. And I want you boys to weigh in on it because we have other facets of this. There are like sub-genres of this tweet that we're going to get into. But
I propose that Ronnie takes his extensive expositional skills to this.
Oh, dude,
and just
yeah,
I want you to just parse the mess out of this thing so that we can understand
that's
what
right.
he's trying to say.
Well, dude, I mean, here's what's crazy, right? So let me do a devil's ad here for 1 second. Like, I kind of like get what he's saying, like on one level, okay? So like I'm grasping what he's saying. He's saying if your pattern of life is mismanaging and mishandling your funds, you're going to suffer the consequences of the same people that mismanage and mishandle their funds. I mean, that's one basic way to take what he's saying. All right. So like that's one, like if you want to break it down all technically, which I don't even like to do that kind of stuff. I just did that very untechnically.
How would Daver feel about your log cabin purchase? Like, do you have a little envelope labeled log cabin?
Yeah, only if I could pay cash for it, and only if the cash was already in a previously like licked envelope.
Labeled envelope, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. But okay, so but the other thing, the thing that just kills me, man, is that dude literally posts, like, who's the guy that's checking like his social media posts before he posts? It's like, did he not think that he was gonna get absolutely slaughtered?
Yeah.
I mean, how did he not think that was not going to murder him and slaughter?
So, yes, listeners, first of all, if you go find this tweet, the retweets and replies to this, there's some comedic gold there just in terms of what people have done with this.
But, and Pipe, hold on 1 second, dude. It was too easy. Like, I don't like stuff that's that easy. You know, I mean, we're ranting about it because it's easy. But, dude,
I was going to say, like, I think we're guilty of the same thing.
No. But we're like making fun of it. Like, the outrage is like, you guys, way too easy. Come
that's
on.
That's true. That's
it's
true.
Just too easy.
Dude, although I did look.
I was talking about the jokes. Like, people made some quality jokes. But so here's the thing, though. I think Dave Ramsey is the type who knew that this would outrage people and is also like, that's the way we weed out the morons. You know, you weed out the morons by seeing who is mad at you, and then you just discard them.
Dude, look at his smug face in this picture. Do you think he has – I bet he's reading – like, he's scrolling through Twitter on his phone, and I guarantee, like, his feet are on a desk. Like, he's got his feet up on a desk. Like, he's satisfied about this. You know what I mean?
He's using his big old iPhone XL or whatever. It's like the mini iPad phone that he did not pay cash for. He's on the payment plan for sure.
Yeah, because he got that phone like we got our app, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I bet he's lighting a cigar with a $100 bill.
Baby, let me ask you a question, man.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I didn't – like, I've never been – including the one that I planted. I've never been at a church that I don't think I never have been. I'm not that's pushed Ramsey. So yeah. Dude, you obviously have there's some woundedness going on here. Like, dude, what did Ramsey do to you, man? Give us the backstory on that.
Baby, there's hurts. There's deep seated hurts.
There is
actually deep-seated. There's not. I think because I grew up in kind of a blue collar Indiana town, like I have this like gigantic chip that resides on my shoulder anyway, vis-a-vis money stuff.
Did you grow up in an Indiana town with a good looking mama who never was around? Is that where you grew up?
Well, dude, yeah, except my mom was around.
Well, okay. You know, sorry. Like, Tom Petty came to mind when you said that.
I know. Tom Petty comes to mind when I think of my hometown, actually.
And also like rich people. Those. When I think of rich people, Tom Petty comes to mind. May he rest in peace.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, I think like class struggle stuff is just kind of baked in to my DNA a little bit. And also to like Taylor didn't help that. Taylor was the ultimate like class struggle place for me. So like to then like matriculate onto adult life and to settle into a church and then realize, hey, like there's an evangelical guy who's waving the Bible around, but what he's really doing is giving a bunch of people who have a propensity for that anyway, just a license to be obsessed about their money. Like, to me, that's Dave Ramsey. He just made it okay for a bunch of people who are probably materialists anyway to just completely obsess over it.
So here's the flip side of that.
Yeah.
Dave Ramsey's, like, his basic financial get out of debt stuff has mm-hmm. helped a ton of people who are in the, like, the middle and working classes to change financial habits. Like I know people.
Yeah, I hope.
Very much transformed. The thing is that he has gotten filthy rich off of it. And so he sort of, he gives off the everyman vibe and sort of how he kind of presents himself, except that he lives in this palatial home in the Williamson County, which is the rich county south of Nashville. And, and so there's this weird, like, he's rich and gives off that vibe and is in that crowd, but he's also, his stuff has been really beneficial to people who have gotten in credit card debt or, you know, they, in young, you know, early in their lives, they made dumb financial decisions and they're trying to dig out of a hole and just kind of helping people practically dig out of it. So it, but it's not that dissimilar from like really good preachers who are really big D-bags. Like you look at it and you're like, I don't quite know how to make sense of this because they do good things, but also I don't like them at all.
Piper, I love how there was no way that DR didn't live in Nashville. Like,
oh, dude, it was, absolutely.
It's like the prereq of all prereqs. I mean, what, for like,
what were, well, I mean, it's a land of, it's a land of rich Christians. So that makes sense. But absolutely. What would have been the other options? Like Houston,
no, there's no
Houston
other,
or
no,
Dallas,
no
maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Where maybe, would he live, man? I think
not
Nashville
even an option.
If you're a rich Christian, you eventually make your way to Nashville.
I mean,
or maybe like
he's not going
to
live in Tucson.
Yeah, maybe the Chicago suburbs. I don't know. There's a lot of rich Christians out there, I guess. But
he's not going to live in Wooster, Ohio.
Well, the Chicago Christian is a little bit more worldly wise, I think. There's
true.
A little bit more like we don't take your BS sensibility, whereas like he can sort of freight train over the southern politeness of Bible Belt Christianity.
Well, dude, and also I think rich Christians move to Nashville with like stars in their eyes. You know what I mean? Like they're still wide eyed. They're still dreamers.
I mean, shoot, this is where Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant came from. So absolutely,
dude, right?
Where magic happens, boys. It's where all the magic.
That's
happens.
Right, baby. Maybe some magic
Ronnie
has happened to you
town.
In that town. Absolutely,
oh, man. That town, man. You know what's so crazy, you guys? Like, so my sister, like she's like this financial planner guru, and like a couple years ago, she calls me right, and she goes. She's like, hey, Big R, have you ever heard of this guy named Dave Ramsey? And I said, have I ever heard of Dave Ramsey? That's like asking me if I've ever heard of like the Apostle Paul. You know what I mean?
Pope Catholic?
Yeah, exactly. It was one of those comments. I don't know if she would have understood that. So I went the Apostle Paul one. Anyway, so I said, yeah. I said, of course. You know, and she said, you know what's weird? Like he came to my company and he did this big like seminar. And at first I was like, yeah, I don't know if I like this guy. And then she goes, by the time he was done, I was like, I think he's kind of a genius.
Dude, he has that effect on people. Like smart, discerning people are like routinely wooed by Dave Ramsey.
My sister was like, I didn't want to like him. And the more I dove in and then I read the material, I was like, no, I think everything he's saying is actually true.
Dude, no, he definitely has a way.
True. Like that. Now this tweet is like Yoda level twisted nonsense. But like his basic stuff is true. I mean, his basic premise is don't spend more than you make. Don't spend money you don't have. Don't get in debt. Don't borrow. That's all pretty straightforward stuff. It's just he just says it with sort of a panache that makes people sit up and take notice.
Also, in defense of Dave Ramsey, just again, vis-a-vis my own stuff, I suck at money-related things, and I probably just resent him for being good at it. So that could be like –
You resent 85. Him for telling you that you suck at money-related things, so you just don't need
I don't give him an opportunity because I don't listen to
You don't need somebody in your ear telling you you're pretty bad about something you
I don't need to be
about.
Reminded of this. Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm aware. Yeah.
It's like you don't need somebody doing what you do to your kids every day, Big T.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's probably a big part.
Let's go back to this tweet for a minute, though. If you do rich people stuff, eventually you will be rich. If you do poor people stuff, eventually you will be poor. Ronnie was like, essentially that's
define
true.
Rich and poor. Define rich and poor.
Well, I know, Ronnie, you sort of were like, that eventually, you know, essentially that's true if you manage your money well, whatever. But like, when I hear rich people stuff, I think buying things, really nice things. And when I hear poor people stuff, I think not having money. Like this tweet doesn't mean anything to me.
Piper, let's quantify then. Okay. Let's put some boundaries on this because we're reformed men and that's what we do.
We need to have at least 5 to 7 bullet points to clarify
Absolutely.
This tweet.
We do bounded set thinking and we're going to do that with this. So let's set the Mendoza line for rich people stuff. I think it's owning your own log cabin offsite. Like if it's not your primary res.
Does it have to be a log cabin or can it be any second home?
Ooh, I don't know.
Any second home. Any second.
No, I'm kind of, probably any second home. Any second home, but for the purposes of ha-has, let's say log cabin.
Right, okay. So log cabin, parentheses, or equivalent.
Log cabin or parentheses, or equivalent. Now, another rich guy thing, Pipe. I think it's trying to throw your money around in such a way that you're influencing things, that you normally couldn't influence. For example,
money leverage.
Money leverage. You're leveraging money. Let's say you have a kid or I have a kid, and let's say our kids aren't como se dice college material. But we really
hypothetically speaking,
but we really want them to go to an amazing college. And we throw some bank, we throw some cachiche at the college, and what do you know? Like, they magically get accepted into school, which is another current event that happens.
I was going to say, I feel like maybe I've heard some outrage in the news about rich people doing rich people things to get their kids into college.
So, assuming, in light of that, Piper, assuming that we're all rich guys, the three of us, what do you think is the... trading on our celebrity, not trading on our money, but trading on our celebrity, what do you think is the highest level of like Christian college we could get our kids into based only on our collective publishing careers and the Happy Rent?
Like Cedarville?
Do you think we could swing Cedarville? That's good.
Well, here's the thing.
I love how you said that with like some measure of disdain in your voice, Pipe.
Well, I love how you said it immediately as though you thought of it before.
I went to Wheaton, which means I have a certain level of disdain for every other Christian college. That's how we are trained.
For sure.
We are trained for this, and Ted knows this because he went to Taylor, so he knows how Wheaton students are.
Absolutely.
Or Wheaton grad.
This is hardwired into you guys, man.
Yeah, so this is a hard thing. Here's the thing. So I got into Wheaton because of a certain amount of celebrity by somebody I may or may not be related to. I mean, I qualified, but there were people who got turned down who probably qualified more than I did, except that I'm a second generation Wheaton guy with the last name that may or may not carry some weight there. So I am a beneficiary of this whole thing.
So do you think the Piper name could swing your daughters? Like, you know, we're a couple generations removed now. And if your daughter was like a C student, but she's like, Dad, I really want to go to Wheaton. I want to study like studio art. I want to throw clay. Are you making a phone call? Is she getting in?
Man, that's a good question. C student, I don't know. Wheaton does have, I mean, they have minimum standards. If she was a B student, which there aren't very many of who make it at Wheaton, that's not really a thing there.
Dude, what about the football players? I'm guessing there's some B students on the football team.
There are a few.
That's kind of its own thing, though.
Yeah, but even there, like, my understanding is that coaches at those places get chips.
They get mulligans.
If a student reaches minimum standards but would not otherwise be accepted, that a coach can use a chip on them just to gain acceptance. You know, Wheaton can't give financial aid for sports because it's Division III, et cetera. But I mean, I might be able to use the last name cachet. Here's the other thing. The more generations you go in a row at Wheaton, the more likely you are to be accepted. So my daughter being a third generation is even more likely to be accepted than me as a second generation because they love legacy. Legacy means more than money or grades.
Hey, forget your daughters. How about me and Big T? Can you get us in? I think that's all we really
would
care.
You change
right,
your
if you
last
picked
name.
Up the phone and you said, you know, my podcast co-host, his son Tristan wants to go to Wheaton. It's his very special dream. Can you do me a solid? Could you get my kid into Wheaton?
What are Tristan's grades like? How's he doing?
All right. This is really getting dull.
Would Tristan be willing to change his last name to Piper? Temporary.
Your fans are having to hear about grade point averages.
He might. I'll talk to him. I'll ask him about it.
It's going to be a bad indie live if this thing descends into this.
I'm going to be honest. Tristan Cluck is a way cooler name than Tristan Piper, so he shouldn't change his last name. Also, it's his family name. But but to get in, it, you know, maybe just hyphenate it like Piper Cluck.
Yeah.
I think that could work.
That'd look good on the back of a jersey too, man. Weren't they something before they were the Thunder?
They were the Crusaders, and then apparently that was not politically correct, so we became a sound.
Yeah.
We are a noise.
Right. I love that. Well, boys, we've got a lot to chew on here as far as rich guy stuff. Any parting shots here before we move on from Dave?
Well, I think we only ended up at like two bullet points. We're not really reformed. So we've got log cabins. Oh, yeah. We've got buying your kids way into college. We've got to come up with a couple other real quick ones.
Dude, good. I think we're good, boys.
Okay,
we're
fine. Good. All right. Well, we're 2-point Calvinists then. We're not.
Dude, what? Okay, I got another one.
Contrarian. Let's keep that
up. I got
one
more. I got a third point on the Christian rich guy thing. Making some kind of announcement via your church's like closed circuit prayer chain / like the little like kind of half-baked social media thing that your church has. It's usually called like the table or communion or whatever. Making some kind of announcement that you've paid off your house. Some kind of like, I paid off my house humble brag.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. That's a great one.
You put like a red door on your house.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you put a red door on it. That's standard Christian rich guy behavior.
I've got another quick one. It is paying for friends to go on vacation with you.
Oh, absolutely.
So like, you know,
it's the
charity vacation friendship.
That's right. I know you're working really hard, and I just want to bless you with this, brother. You know?
Yeah.
That whole deal, standard rich Christian guy stuff.
All right. I think we've moved into the realm of legitimately reformed systematizing of what rich people things are. We can move on now. I feel better.
Systematic
now.
Rich guy stuff. Yeah. I think Grudem is working on this manuscript actually. So he might be
writing a book about business success from a Christian perspective can be our fifth point. I feel like that's a strong rich person thing.
That is strong.
Can we do that even though we don't have business success? Like, I really want to write that book.
All we need to do is claim that we have success. It's like being an expert. Yes. Just say it loud enough and you are.
Right. It's like being a consultant. I want to write the quintessential tome on being a successful Christian businessman, even though I'm in no way, shape, or form that guy. Let's do it, man. I know we have publishing people listening, so let's make that deal happen. If you're with a publishing house, reach out. We're available for voice work and business books.
And here's a working title. You know, there's the famous Napoleon Hill book, Think and Grow Rich. We will do Podcast and Grow Rich. That is our working title.
Podcast and claim it. Name it on the air and claim it. Which brings to mind something that drifted across my transom this week, boys, which is an image that I saw. I don't know if you guys saw this, but it was a picture of one Frankie Chan, one of our favorite, Christian mega celebrities, Frankie mm-hmm. Chan. And he was kind of like broing it up in a picture with Benny Hinn.
Yeah.
Like, no.
He was.
Guy. Yeah. Frank and Chan.
No, that's
Frank.
So a listener shared this with us and said, is this an early runaway, like a runaway win for Heretic of the Year, going back to our predictive podcast from a couple months ago? And I feel like it's going to be really difficult for somebody else to surpass Frankie and...
Dude, were they just at like a conference together? They do conf?
Yeah, it was like an on-stage thing somewhere.
Oh, all right. Well, that's
right. So it was official, baby. Official capacity. This is different than like
we don't got to cast him into the nether regions of hell.
But dude, Piper's dad had like the caption of the tweet was something like the Holy Spirit casting out devils, and like Frankie was all on board with this. So it was.
I'm looking at it right now. He has his arm around Ben.
Baby,
Frank and Ben.
Can we talk about how good Frankie looks just for a sec?
He does look
like good. The years have been kind, man. Yeah, Frankie looks.
Frank
really
and
good.
Ben, man, it's like the mafia right there. Is what we're looking
I know,
at. Looking
dude.
At Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, you can tell that he really takes self-care seriously.
Oh, absolutely. Dude, 100%. Absolutely. Yeah.
There have been some spa days in his past.
Oh, a lot of indie spa days. A lot of Soma. Every time he gets a spa day, he flies out to Indianapolis, which is where one goes for such care.
Well, dude, of course. I mean, yeah, you fly into Indy and just take the Uber to Soma and, you know, kind of forget about your cares and concerns. I mean,
it's really fun when you type in Frankie and Benny and then see what comes up in the images on Google. Just saying. It's enjoyable.
It's probably image number one. I bet.
Yeah, it is image number one. Absolutely.
Dude, I love this. So like, this is more of a real thing than like when Piper's dad split like a Cinnabon with, the guy from out West in an airport, you know, lobby. And then he was a heretic for a while. Who's that guy from out West?
There's a couple guys who have drawn
Judas,
some
the
ire.
Colorado guy. Why am I, the Hawaiian shirt guy? Why am I blanking?
Oh, Rick
on
Warren?
This? Rick Warren.
Okay.
Oh, Warren, yeah.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, no, when you say out West, I'm like Driscoll, about... MacArthur, Warren, like
Rick
just
Warren.
Run down the list.
I mean, he split like Cinnabons and like Calvin's Institutes with Ricky Dove, man. I mean, that was like something he's like, hey, let's eat together and let me ask you like 20 questions about how reformed or unreformed you are.
Exactly.
I don't think Ricky Dove passed the test. Did he, Pipe?
I don't know. I know that he reads Edwards like annual. He reads the complete works of Edwards annually or something like that.
I think
that.
Ricky Dove was like, I think that was Ricky Dove's response. I think he was like, I love the doctrines of grace, but don't you dare call me one of those. What do you say? Calvinists? I think is what
one of those. Yeah. One of those Calvinizers.
Exactly.
Boy, speaking of Pipe's dad. A little bit of controversy coming out of desiringgod.org this week.
What's going on, baby?
Baby, the controversy surrounded a movie called Captain Marvel, which I have not seen. And I'm confident
trigger warning for our listeners. The movie starred a woman. So if that offends you, you need to stop listening now. It clearly offended the writer at Desiring God.
I don't see any movie actually that has a woman in it. Like, it's just kind of a personal boundary that I have. So I just have like,
is that like the Band of Brothers? Is that like the Billy Graham rule of movies?
Dude, it's a Billy Graham rule of movies. Yeah. If a woman's in it, like, I'm out. I've just got Band of Brothers on a loop at my house. I mean, that's pretty much it. But yeah, so this movie
and Dead Poets Society, of course.
Yeah. Not a woman within miles of Dead Poets Society. All right. So this movie comes out. It stars a female superhero, and a think piece comes out. A think piece comes out in Desiring God, tying this movie to, like, you know, feminism and all the reasons why we should hate it. I didn't read the piece, Piper, but what was the gist of it to you?
Well, I mean, as studious listeners will know, if you think Desiring God and female superhero, you can probably fill in the outline of this article. It is exactly what you would, you know, fear might be said. It was basically yearning for the days of Snow White and Cinderella when the female by the way, that line was in there until it was edited out. Like, it was published with that and then taken back out later. But it was literally pining for the days of the female princess who is helpless and relatively thoughtless and depends on a man to save the day. And it basically was like, is this who you want your daughters to grow up to be? About Captain Marvel, who is a female superhero.
Now,
that was the gist.
What if there was a reformed woman as a female superhero? So, like, what if Captain Marvel was Jen Wilkin? Then would it be okay?
It would be perfectly fine. Big T.
Who else could it be, baby? We got Jen Wilkin. She's in the running. We're making a reformed Captain Marvel.
Trillia Newbell would make a great superhero.
There you go. Okay, see, now we're talking, boys. We're casting this thing.
Gloria Furman's on the list.
What about the original? What about the original, like, woman superhero, Beth Moore?
Oh, dude, the OG.
What about the original female star?
That might be a little too mainstream, baby.
Yeah, that really triggered all the reformed guys. First, we just bent their brains because we keep talking about female superheroes, and they can't picture that at all. But then when you brought in Beth Moore, there's a lot of just sort of mental breakage going on.
And then, like, the villain, like Joyce Meyer coming in off the side.
I love it, dude.
Off the top rope.
Anime Joyce Meyer flying against anime Jen Wilkin, like on a movie screen. I'm in for that.
When you say flying, do you mean like on a broomstick, baby?
Maybe.
You mean on a witch's broomstick like we see in Harry Potter?
Maybe. Harry Potter did well. I mean, I'm no, like, movie executive, but maybe we do that, you know? Maybe we do, maybe we don't.
I mean, we did get the request for Victoria Osteen to be on this podcast, so I think she could easily be a villain as well.
Yeah, Pipe, talk about that, man. I'm getting a lot of these emails now. Like, I'm getting these emails from, like, publicists of wacky authors asking for their wacky author to be on our show. Are you getting these as well?
Oh, yes. I only share the best of the best with you. So I shared one with you several months ago from the guy who runs an escort service in Vegas who volunteered himself to be on the podcast. That was a
spectacular
delight.
Why don't we have him on?
You know, I think the question answers itself. Then Victoria Osteen's publicist was the most recent because she's starting a book tour. And I don't recall. It's something about being victorious, I think. We get these periodically. Here's the thing. Publicists for good authors, they probably know kind of what we're about. And so they skip us because they're like, oh, those guys don't do interviews. And if they did, they would just make fun of the author anyway. Whereas the crazy ones just see podcast and send it to us.
Boys, nobody, and I mean nobody, gets on our show.
No, nobody. I agree, Big R. No one.
No one even – we barely make it on our show every week.
Exactly.
Yeah, we literally have to ask the other – like, what everybody doesn't see is we ask permission of the other person if we can be on our own show this week. That's how exclusive
that's
it is.
That's a real insightful peek behind the curtain, because on those weeks when we claim somebody is traveling and is not on, it actually just means the other two said, no, not this week.
That's right.
It's not happening this week.
Those are the high
boys, standards. Can I be on the rant next week? Is that cool?
Well – maybe. Time will tell. Let's see how the rest of this episode goes.
Yeah, exactly. Each episode is a tryout. You know, every episode is like a We're all in probation still on the Happy Rant podcast. That's how we stay so sharp, boys. That's why the product is so like so tight from week to week.
It's on you know brand. What I mean? We
Frogs
are
lets
on
us
brand.
Know if it's acceptable to be on the podcast every week. We still go to him. He still has final say.
Maybe speaking of, does he have final say from like nearby or from far away still?
You know, he still has it, it's a distance final say.
Could he like open his window and get final say as he's like reaching across to borrow an egg?
No, he's still it's still via technology for sure.
It's long distance final say.
It's a long distance say. Yeah.
That's good, baby.
Man.
Ted, I got one more question about this Captain Marvel thing. I'm raising daughters, and so to me, you know, I'm coming from one perspective on this. You are raising sons. How do you guard your sons from the insidious feminism just rife and rampant within these movies?
All that's male movies. You don't let them watch women on screen.
I mean, Band of Brothers.
That's
all my boys are.
How do you even, like, but they know that it exists, and even that is just too
even
much.
That I hate. I mean, I feel like I've already failed them by just, you know, making them live in a world where it exists, Pipe, but... No, you know, I believe it or not, man, I'm probably a terrible father, but I haven't had the, you know, the all important Captain Marvel as a woman discussion with my boys yet. And I know Tristan had, I think Tristan's seen the movie. He went out to a movie with some friends the other night, and I'm pretty sure it was this movie.
Oh,
so.
but I bet he told you it was something else, huh? He knew that if he told you what he was going to, you'd be like, no, son, absolutely
you're right.
Not.
You know what's weird about it, Pipe, is that. He went and saw the movie and he didn't come back like all devastated and hangdog about it. Like he wasn't just,
ashamed
like,
to be a man afterwards.
Dude. Right. He wasn't emasculated and ashamed to be a man. And he didn't sit in my living room weeping. So
maybe I find that hard to believe.
I'd be a little concerned about him right now. Cause that's clearly the only healthy response.
I agree. And I feel like he wasn't paying attention, you know? So I feel like there had to be something else going on with him that night where, you know, clearly, if you're paying attention, you couldn't just enjoy this movie.
Well, so then that just means Captain Marvel was boring.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he also knows that if he goes to college and he majors in English, he's going to get a heavy dose of feminism anyway. Like, I mean, it's all phallic and yonic, you know, imagery in college English department. So he's looking at 4 years of that.
Not if I get him into Wheaton.
Oh, that's true. How do they handle that? I bet it is a Wheaton, too. Even at ours, it's pretty
true.
Much Whedon, like...
I mean, everybody knows Whedon's jumped the shark and has gone fully left. So.
It's penises and wombs all over the place. I mean, if you're English, you know.
All over the place.
Baby, what about Double K? I mean, she's a woman. Do you allow her to live in the same house as you and your sons, or how do you deal with that?
Baby, it's tough.
It's really tough.
You clearly, I'm not letting her watch Captain Marvel because I feel like it would empower her in a way that would threaten me. Probably it would throw the very delicate power dynamic in our house. Let's just say.
Oh, it would go haywire.
Yeah, it really would, man. I mean, we had a couple of choppy years in our marriage after Wonder Woman came out. I mean, that was
absolutely.
About...
We all did, baby. We all did.
Yeah, I know.
We're all suffering the after effects of Wonder Woman right now.
I want to know how you guys survived, you know, a League of Their Own back 15, 20 years ago. How did you even hack it?
That was like the Kickstarter project for all of this.
Yeah.
Dude, right. Gina Davis, like hitting home runs. Are you kidding me? You know, I mean,
so much damage.
You know, it was just like months of therapy after that.
I mean, I saw that as like a junior hire and it, I mean, I think it delayed puberty by like 3 years. Like I was just like, I don't think I can do this.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, man. That really threw the culture for a loop. And you know, here's my question, Piper. Where was Desire and God when A League of Their Own came out in the 90s?
Exactly.
I mean, Judas Priest, where were you when we needed you? You know?
Was Desire and God the book even written
seriously,
yet?
Seriously, they could have made my junior high year so much easier had they just written a think piece.
Did anybody even desire God when that movie came out, Pipe?
Dude, I go to see A League of Their Own. I come back. I'm all confused. I got nobody to talk to about it because, you know, our people just weren't talking that way in the 90s. Like I've got all these confusing feelings about what it means to be a baseball player and a man. And where do I even go?
You didn't have the internet back then, baby. Things are so much better now.
I know
how much help we get now.
Absolutely. People are so much wiser. Absolutely.
So much more wiser. We're so much more educated.
Absolutely.
It's better. It's everything's better.
Maybe it's so much better.
Minus the movies with the women in them. Everything else is better.
Right. Pipe, what was to you, like getting back to the article for a second, what was to you the funniest thing about the article? Like just the fact that it happened or were there funny like moments throughout?
Yeah, I think it was the overall tone of like Hangdog tragedy. It treated the movie like a cultural tragedy. And so, I mean, the individual snapshots of like we miss Snow White and whatever were just sort of symptomatic of the overall eye rollingness of the stance.
Yeah.
And it just the other thing was like it just was so unsurprising.
Yeah.
You know, I had hoped that maybe Desiring God wouldn't put it out and it might come from some like some other less reputable site. But
yeah.
But it's also kind of on brand for some of their contributing writers. And yeah. So yeah, I think it was it was the tragedy of it. Just the sort of like all is lost. Here we are as
what
a
are
society.
We gonna do
We're
now?
Staring down the barrel of feminist superheroes about to blow us all away. And it was a mess.
Let me ask you this as the parent of daughters. I mean, just knowing that this movie is out there, I'm sure you haven't let your daughter see it. But have they been harder to handle around the house because of just the fact that this is out there? Like, are they walking a little taller in a way that makes you...
I can imagine.
Yeah, they keep exactly. looking me in the eye and things like that. It's really unsettling.
They keep wanting to, like, destroy you.
Then they have opinions, and they express them, and it's without my permission even. It's very unsettling. The whole thing just, it feels like it was sort of an earthquake-like tremor that just rattled the foundations of our very existence. So I'm
Boys, here's an honest question for you both. And you can both answer it. So like being a total non-superhero guy in all seriousness, like what is the superpower that Captain Marvel has? And number two, it just seemed like kind of weird that they have like a cap. Do they have a Captain DC? Do they have like a Captain DC? You know what I mean? Like, I don't get the whole Captain Marvel thing. So explain to me, like, what is her superpower and why is she named after the brand of the comic?
Baby, I might know like a tiny bit more about superheroes than you just because I have young boys living in my house, but I probably know almost as little as you. So let's both defer to Piper on this one.
All right, Piper. Lay it on.
Piper, walk us through this.
So those are really good questions that I don't totally have answers to because I haven't seen the movie yet. But also because Captain Marvel the backstory goes deep in the comic books, which I've never read. I just watch the movies because I think they're lots of fun. Basically, what I know is that she is a superhero from another world, or at least like – has alien powers from another world in a human body, something like that, and is the one who is likely strong enough to be able to help defeat Thanos, who was the villain who showed up in the last Avengers movie and wiped out half the planet. Oh, spoiler alert. Sorry, everybody.
So is she from the planet Egalitaria? And Thanos is from the planet Complementaria.
Feminazia, I believe, is the term. The planet. You got they're neighbors, but one of them is more extreme. So it's that one.
That's the kind of world I hope we live in.
Dude, who plays Thanos from our camp? Who's Thanos in this movie? Who's Thanos Thanos is the king of Complementaria. Who plays him? And then who? I think we know who plays the queen of Egalitaria, Captain Marvel.
Yeah, that's a certainty. I mean, it would have been Driscoll had he stayed in our camp because Thanos is like a big muscly, loud, you know, larger than life and stronger than everybody guy. So I think like, Driscoll is sort of Thanos-y.
Yeah. Dude, who's in our tribe?
Driscoll is that lug from Aquaman, man.
Momoa? No way, dude. That's like Momoa heresy. I've got a little Momoa man crush.
You do not have a little Momoa man crush. You have an outsized, you know, full-blown Momoa man crush.
That's like saying I have a little problem with Dave Ramsey, you know.
To be fair, a crush on Jason Momoa is completely defensible, so that's not an insult. I just don't downplay your deep and abiding affection.
Dude, not bringing the art guy into that one, are you, boys? Carry on.
Yeah, that's true.
Carry on.
Baby, what's the most mainstream movie you've seen in the last 12 months?
Dude, I saw Vice.
Okay. All right, that works.
With Christian.
Yeah, Vice is pretty impressive, though. I mean, you're not going to lose any hipster friends over seeing Vice. I want to go just a smidge more mainstream. I know you've got one. You got one in there, man. You got a mainstream movie.
You mean like a movie that actually like sold some tickets, made some.
Yeah,
cash.
A movie that like other people. Yeah. A movie that
if it
that
and,
people
and one that cannot be called critically acclaimed in any context.
Yeah, a movie that people in your congregation would actually see.
Hey boys, I've told you this before. Big M doesn't like movies, so that's I hardly true. Ever get to go to movies. She's not a movie fan, so like, I don't really go to a lot of movies.
Baby, you know, what do you do at night when you're at these comps and you've like sat through talks all day and you've been to all the little mixers and done all your like networking and visited with publishing guys? Like, don't you ever just like take a little car service to a theater and unwind by yourself?
I do what every normal man does. I go straight to bed. Not often, baby. It just doesn't really work out, you know, because those things, you're up so late. I mean, all you're doing is like, you know what I mean? You're doing all the stuff that people like me do, which is just eat all night and talk.
Eat and talk. Yeah.
And then when we're done with that, we go to another place and we talk and eat some more.
So basically rich people things.
Basically rich people things, precisely.
Yeah.
That's right. Just eat, talk, and make deals.
Right.
Absolutely. You know?
I use my Happy Rent credit card. I charge some things on it.
Company card. I hope you're keeping your receipts, baby.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
That's right. Ted's accountant will want all of them.
Oh my gosh, yes, she will.
That's a story for a different day.
I'm really glad you made that joke. That makes me happier, even though the situation is dire. But and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if the Happy Rent was literally the last thing on the planet to listen to, she wouldn't be listening. So we can make all
that,
the accounts.
Is that because it has happy in the name? Because she doesn't strike me as a happy human.
You know, yeah. No comment. Now I'm growing a conscience. This is bad. But yeah, Piper, that's a good one to end on. I feel like we've come full circle as an episode. So I want to re-encourage people to, you know what, just think about Indie Live. Think about your Dave Ramsey financial plan, your little envelopes full of cash, because God forbid we be chained to our money. Okay, so the way to financial freedom is to count every dollar and put it in a little envelope. And if that sounds like freedom to you, then we're on the same page. Okay.
The other way to financial freedom is to not be burdened by overly much money, which means you can buy tickets freely and feel no guilt whatsoever.
So unburden yourself of a little bit of that Ramsey cash. And buy your tickets for Indie Live, because it's going to be a lovely evening. If you've enjoyed this, even a little bit, you're going to enjoy Indie Live so much more. It's going to be a great time. There are no female superheroes involved in it. And
And remember to use the code LASTMINUTE to get $5 off your ticket, which is a 33% discount off of an already great priced item.
That's huge. That's some like Ramsey level math right there, Piper.
I learned from the best.
Piper is well on his way to financial freedom, and you can be too if you join us at Soma Indie for Indie Live on March 31st. Boys, it's good to be back in the studio doing radio with you two gentlemen. We'd had a little hiatus, and I had missed this. So I have enjoyed it. We have wandered to and fro throughout these topics. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
I found myself on a ledge, three stories high at some condominiums, contemplating my life and struggling to understand my purpose. Have you ever found yourself on a ledge? My name is Billy Yancey. I'm a caring father, mentor, and friend. In my new podcast, Billy and the Goat, I share the life-changing events that shaped who I am today to remind you that no matter how far you've fallen, God can help you get up and thrive. Listen now at lifeaudio.com.